So officially welcome everyone, wherever you are in the world, live or on the replay. We are here at Tarhila's bonus class, and it promises to be a very interesting class. I promised a special meditation for the Lifeline Karma meditation, one of the projects that we are working on together. And before we begin, of course, make sure you begin the meditation from a standing up posture. Your eyes are closed. And we're not going to have a lot of introduction today. Very, very quickly, we're going to move into the meditation itself. So please take some time. Get properly connected. And just listen to your body. The energy is beautiful. Listen to your body. Begin relaxing from the head down. So relax the head and the neck. Then the shoulders. Pay attention to the sensations in your hands and wrists, and give your hands and wrists full freedom. Notice your breath as you're relaxing between your shoulders. Pay attention to your abdomen. And literally watch the rising and the falling of your abdomen as you're breathing in and out. Take some time to do that. Now pay attention to your hips, your lower abdomen, and free your hips as you begin from a standing posture, or maybe your body is already down on the floor, and at this moment, simply free your hips, just like you free your hands and give your hands and arms their own life, allow them to guide you, surprise you. Do the same for the hips right now. Allow your hips and your legs to have their own life, allowing them to surprise you. Beautiful. Now even the ankles and the feet, just like the hands, having their own life, freeing them. Sometimes they may require your hands to help with your ankles or your feet. Allow that to happen as well, if that's what seems to feel right. Sometimes it is massaging, and sometimes it is pulling on the ankle or the foot. Sometimes it's from a standing posture, sometimes, and mostly it is if you are on the ground, and that would be a safer for the body. It would guide you, though. And just listen to the energy. More freedom. Trusting your body to take you, to guide you, to show you, to surprise you. Remember the thought. In many cases, when I listen to instructions of meditations, the thoughts become insignificant, almost unwanted. They talk about clearing mind, focusing. In many meditations, when I hear and see people doing them, the outer environment becomes irrelevant, not important, the sound around. The environment, it always is required to be as clean, as uninterrupted, as quiet as possible. In many meditations that I hear about and see, the postures need to be well known in advance. They need to be well defined and often need to be repeated. And therefore, somehow, in my mind, I can see the reason why that seems to be so, or maybe somewhat misunderstood, or some step is being missed. As the outcome of meditation becomes the ultimate goal. And often because of our reactive mind, because of our reactive and instant gratification state of mind, we often get disappointed or desire the outcomes to be here now, right now, here, in this body, in this energy, all the outcomes from the posture to the state of mind So anything else that may come. But the outcome to be right away, here and now. And then the outcome is being practiced. Right? The outcome itself. Posture, the final breath, the final image, the final environment around us, or how we respond to it, is practiced right away. But in what we're doing right now, it's a little different. And again, I'm not saying that these meditations are better or worse, but all I'm saying is that they give a completely different result. They almost seem to numb ourselves from the truth of this moment. Try and take the truth away and say that the truth is not worthy. It's not proper. Everything that we do in our meditations here, Karma Secrets, is we're working with the truth. We're working with the truth alone. And therefore, if we're working with the truth, it is becoming that the journey becomes the ultimate goal and not the outcome. The journey itself, the process. That makes every thought valuable and count. Every situation, every posture, every movement, every sensation. That allows us to come as we are into our meditation and to really perform at our highest level now, today, because we're working with the truth. That makes us, gives us an opportunity never to be disappointed at the outcome or the experience. Always realizing that it will change. Never having to bring back an old experience. Never having to wish for a different one. Because it is this moment's truth that's the most important. Recognizing the journey to be the goal. Those are the few prerequisites for higher state of mind. Now, if you agree with it, you're probably halfway there. It does not mean that we're there already, because internally we may still be fighting that, and we will see that in the process of meditation every single time. But if we already open-minded enough to agree to this on a mental level, then we're almost there. We're halfway there, and halfway does not mean that it will take us just as long in terms of time. But we definitely are close. So again, listen to the body now as a whole, as one. Recognize that every movement, every sensation, every thought is an opportunity to tap into the truth, to notice the truth of this moment, and to get inspired on a deeper level. I mean, what kind of truth? Well, I mean, what kind of growth can, you know, a tingling inspire, really, you know, if you think of it, without understanding that it is the truth of this moment that's inspired, not the tingling itself. Not the posture, the movement necessarily, even though it has a meaning and it has a place to be and in the order of things and in its value. But it's not what we focus on right now, on not on the value of the tingling, but on the tingling as a form of truth and inspiration to allow us to tap, to open a door into working with a deeper reasons to go to the roots of the reactions. We talked about today's meditation being the from the fruits to the roots. The roots are, of course, we could talk about the roots being in the past, in terms of timeline. Maybe when we were young, maybe even before we were born, something is initiated. I always talk about reincarnation as part of something I can see to have value and relevance. But for others, it may be more, a scientific term of genetic predispositions that are constantly being rediscovered, of what that really means, what and how they come about in every person's life experience. We're just at the infancy of understanding genetics, really. And it requires science, very advanced science. What's beautiful about what we're doing is that it doesn't require advanced science. It just requires what we already have to come as we are and to pay attention to the truth. And we may rediscover it, things that science may or may not ever be able to speak of. So talking about the roots, they could be in your linear time or in the past life. And when I had the opportunity to work with children, very young children, sometimes as young as a few months old or a few years old, and I was looking at serious illnesses or challenges that they were having, and one would ask a very logical question of, how is it possible, a child that young? And I recognized then that there are really two components in that karma. One is past life. Obviously, the child didn't have enough time to test everything and be at, didn't have a chance to have control over his own or her own karma. But the karma of their parents becomes more and more important the younger the child is. And that's where the answers often lie. That's a little bit of a tangent for us today, but it's important for us to know because, again, we are trying to relate genetics and karma, and here we're talking about parents or grandparents and genetics of grandparents. And the influence of that, of their genetics, of their karma on the child and their state in the youth, in development, where they're later on, they become less affected by their parents' karma, more affected by their own, because suddenly they get an opportunity to change their own karma. Never too late. More so. It's always a process, always a journey of changing karma. Always, always. Here we are. Let's go into the inner keys with this understanding What we're going to do is we're going to look at the chakra system. And each chakra, of course, has its message that it brings across, the its support that it gives to the physical and emotional and mental states. And what we're going to do is we're going to use the chakras and the states that they show us and give us as the means, as the fruits, to allow us to connect and correct the deeper level, the seeds, the time when the seeds were planted. Show you how to do that. And of course, we're going to need more practice after, but at least we will have an idea of how this works. And we've worked with that for the past 6-7 months, and specifically with that, and it showed amazing results. I wanted you to have that as a tool for your own personal growth, at least right now, and of course at some point to understand better, for those of you who are helping others. Of course, all of us are at some point, you know, being asked, being communicated to with problems, challenges, ask for us for our opinion, or directly involved in the healing process of another person. And then obviously you will be able to understand it better. So we're going to look at every single chakra from the bottom up, for the basic 7 chakras, of course. Now we're going to look at them as a canvas of a new canvas of information. And we're going to use that information to reflect in the body. And we're going to use that information as also reflect into the highest level, where all information exists as one. For some of you, you may remember me describing it almost like a record, that everyone goes and plays that music, depending on the tip, on the diamond tip that we represent at that moment, of how sharp that our own diamond tip is. This is the type of music that we are able to play. But all of us go to the same place to play it. So that's the source, universal bank of knowledge, the place where nothing is duplicated. Everything exists at its ideal state, past and present and future all exist as one. So we're going to start from the bottom. And as we already went through the floors of the body, relaxing and allowing freedom to each of the floors of the body, we're going to go directly into the chakras right now. Please repeat the next key after me with your inner voice. I want to receive a lot of energy. With recognition of higher unity. And fill my first chakra. I want to receive a lot of energy. With recognition of higher unity. And fill my first chakra. Beautiful. Now, what we're going to do is very different right now. I want you to ask yourself a question. What bothers me the most? What bothers me the most? What angers me and irritates me the most about the physical space that I'm living in or experiencing around me, everyday life? What bothers me the most, challenges me the most, angers me the most, irritates me the most, agitates me the most about the physical space, about things that are related to physical things, maybe things that I have or don't have, cars, homes, work, spaces, trees even. I shouldn't say trees, I mean physical spaces. No. Not trees, take it back. Just the animate, not what we call living systems, but build, artificial, stagnant. What bothers me? One thing, come to your mind. And then what I want you to do is to look at it as a reflection on the first chakra. And now making that chakra into a mirror and reflecting that bother, that discomfort into the source. Just mentally agree to that. Once you do that, listen to the body. Once you do that, no longer be concerned with the technique, no longer be concerned with whether you did it right or wrong, but now look at your body, recognize your thought, and reflect that. And be honest. Not perfect. There's no perfection. We're not looking for perfection at all. We're looking for experience, learning the technique of reflection, recognizing that's a natural process, and using the truth of this moment to set us free. The thought, the emotion that bothers us being the fruit, and then allowing us to tap into unconscious level, into an unconscious level. The fruit is on a conscious level, the root is on the unconscious, the seed, and we allowing ourselves to go into the unconscious level and leave it in the unconscious level for now. And then just reflect on the body, reflect on the sensations. Beautiful. Excellent. You're doing amazing, but wait, you're not done with the first chakra yet. There's a second part to this, equally important. Ask yourself a question, what do you love the most? And don't ever want to give up about your physical experience around you, physical space. Things, physical things. Bring that to your mind. Create the first chakra of the canvas. Then reflect it to the soul. Make it as if a mirror and see that reflect. See the reflection of that. Almost in that canvas of the first chakra. And again, however it comes to your mind, it's not what's important. What's important is right after that, you listen to the body. Don't dwell too much about the technique and how you did it, or right or wrong. Did you understand it completely or not? That does not matter. What matters is the truth of this moment and the experience in the body and the freedom that you give to the five senses. And let it happen. So what we've done is we've asked ourselves two questions. One on the extreme of agitation, discomfort. And another on the other extreme of attachment, love. Both of them being the fruit of some seed that was planted sometime in the past, and unconsciously, somehow, is bonding us and influencing every single moment of our life. Go to the next key. Moving up into the second chakra rib. Please repeat the next key after me. I want to receive a lot of energy. Recognize the unity of all things. And fill my second chakra. Now, we're going to do the same thing that we've done with the first chakra, recognize it as a canvas, and then reflect it as a mirror by asking two questions. First question, what bothers me the most? What angers me the most? What irritates me the most about the nature around me, about the food, or the living environment around you? Anything that's plant-based. And then reflect that into the source. Catch the experience, the thought, and the physical sensations, and just free yourself to express the truth of this moment. Soon you will understand why it's so relevant, what we're doing. The lower chakras speak of the past. Our past reactions from the entire chakra system, but as the fruit, they affect our relation with our environment. Because that's the basic survival need, the relation with your environment, to be able to, on top of that, to grow our future, our spiritual growth. We need the survival first, and therefore our past experiences of the entire chakra system, not only the lower, now are expressing themselves as the fruits or as the agitations, or now we're going to look at what we love the most about our environment, our nature. I would like you to do that and do exactly the same. Once you get what it is that you love the most, what don't want to give up about the living nature around you, then reflect it back to its source. And now experience the physical, the thought process as you bring it back to the senses of the body. Work with the truth of this moment. Remember to bring it back into the body as you are, the next inner key. I want to receive a lot of energy to recognize the unity of all things and fill my third chakra, number 3. Now we're going to ask ourselves a question again, the fruits, the level of what bothers us the most, what are we most afraid of when it comes, or what agitates us the most when it comes to our survival level, our connection to survival, our survival. Basics of that. What should I say becomes the biggest strength to our survival. That's the word. And then, once you figure that, use the third chakra as a canvas, reflect it back. Into the source. And I purposely don't instruct you how that all happens. I want you to have your own experience. And then listen to the body. And let it guide you. The next question you ask yourself as you are in the third chakra. What is the one thing that if you lost it, if you gave it up, would threaten your survival the most? Name it. Surprise yourself if you have to. Maybe surprisingly, may not be. But trust the process itself. Now, reflect it as a canvas and reflect it as a mirror back to its source. All information lies in one place. We reflect it back to its source. The past, present, and future all exist as one. Simply mathematically true, scientifically true, statistically true. And bring it back to the body. Notice the changes. Allow the changes. Allow the new experience. Excellent energy, really. So from the bottom up, we looked at the first three chakras. Each of them reflecting the greatest fear and discomfort, and the greatest attachment and love. So they're related vibrations. And of course, if you were surprised at what that thought is, maybe it wasn't so logical as I presented it. That is good too. Trust it. And I hope at this level you allowed that to happen. Very good. What I would like you to do for the next 10-15 minutes is simply self-regulate. The higher chakras have to do with the future, while the lower, of course, is with the past. And I would like to do the higher chakras at another time, separately, and give it a little bit more spice because, of course, we have an incredible power and potential, not only to protect the past and let it guide us, but also to grow into the future So, of course, not to leave out the higher chakras with one key. We're going to just fill them and then self-regulate the entire system, recognizing the hierarchy of the chakras as well, where the higher chakras, because of their, natural physics and energy, relate to the future and seed the lower chakras, strengthen them to prepare them into the future. So here's the one key that we're going to self-regulate with. I want to receive a lot of energy to recognize the unity in all things and the hierarchy of perspective or of chakra, and fill my fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chakra. Recognize the unity in all things, the hierarchy of perspective for the chakras, and fill my fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chakra. Capture the thoughts, experience in the body. And simply let it go. Doing great. We said stay with this energy a little bit longer. You've done very well. So it's new material for most of you. The next time we are here, we're going to explain a little bit more of why the fruits and the roots work the way they do, what naturally happens in our everyday life, and what we can do to bring it even to a higher conscious level, and of course work on an unconscious level, and when it comes to do with the future. It's a little bit different. My name is Eric Waldman. This is our Advanced Healers Training bonus class, so I appreciate you being here energetically, physically, replay, everyone. One mind, respecting the journey as you are. Great job. Until next time, thank you. And by the way, I'd love to hear your feedback and what surprised me most about today.